So, having made that personal inventory, okay, if you look at page 17 in your workbook, what are we going to do about it? If you look at step five, the next step is we're going to admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Okay? This is going to complete the process of getting right with ourselves. Okay? So we've made this personal inventory. Yeah? What are we going to do about it? Remember what we're trying to do. We're trying to get a new attitude. Yes? A new relationship with our creator. Yes? And to discover the obstacles in our path. Remember, we're searching for the great power deep down within us, and there are obstacles in our path. Now we've discovered some of those. We've admitted certain defects, right? Column four, sure we have. We've ascertained in a precise and all-encompassing, no, in a rough way, what the trouble is, right? We got a rough sense of our defects, right? Yeah, we do. Now we put our finger, you might say, on the weak items in our personal inventory. Okay, we got clarity we didn't have before, at least a little bit, and that means fast. Now, that means immediately, these are about to be cast out. I mean, the point of taking this inventory is to get rid of this stuff, isn't it? To bag up the trash and get God to take it away. Yeah, you bet it is. And that requires action on our part, which, when it is done, when it's completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, like a big book sponsor, the exact nature of our defects. Right? And we're going to talk about that. That part's important. The exact nature of our defects. And that'll bring us to the fifth step in the program of recovery, in our, our cake baking recipe. Now, this is perhaps difficult, the authors tell us, especially discussing our defects with another person. Now, if the fifth step were about reading off to somebody else a list of my complaints about all the ways that people had wronged me in my life, I do not think that it would be difficult at all. I did that pretty much with anybody who would listen morning, noon, and night for a long time. But it is difficult to discuss our defects. Now, the thing is, if we skip this final step and we do not discuss our defects, but instead we complain about others or, have a little pity party, if we try to do that with the fifth step instead, I do not like our odds of overcoming drinking or using whatever's killing us, right? We've got to be entirely honest. That means no half measures with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. I remember, this was a few years before I recovered, reflecting that there was not a single person on earth who knew the truth about my life. There were parts of myself that I was lying about, different parts to everybody. No one really knew me. And that was not a way I was going to ever be able to overcome my difficulties. I had to get entirely honest with somebody and stay that way if I was going to live happily in this world. So, as you might guess, the kind of stuff we've been taking inventory of, I was even a little nervous to talk about it to you guys, and I love and trust you very much. This is an intimate, confidential step, and we're going to think rightly and naturally, very carefully before we choose the person or the persons, more on that in a minute, with whom to take that step. Notwithstanding the fact that I kind of broke this rule a little bit, don't do step five at meetings, in other words, right? Let's not air out our personal conduct in a room full of strangers who we don't know their spiritual state. We don't know where they are in their life. We don't know how they're going to react to this. I know anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our practices. Do they know that? No. This is a confidential, intimate conversation, okay? Now, book talks about the fact that anybody who's in a religion that requires confession, if you're Catholic or something, must and of course will want to go to the properly appointed authority, like a priest in the confessional, whose duty it is to receive it. Okay, but that got, when Cameron's putting this together, got him thinking about the idea of a properly appointed authority in lots of other contexts, right? Because one of the things that this chapter talks about is that such parts of our story that are necessary for this, we'll tell to somebody who will understand and yet be unaffected. And what does that mean? Let me make that concrete. So if you've got criminal matters that you need to discuss, you've committed some murders and you buried some bodies, you know who a properly appointed authority to discuss that part of your story with would be? Criminal lawyer. Okay? Now we can discuss, you and I, in a general way, the kind of selfishness and violence that you've been living your life with. Well, you need to discuss the particulars of a crime. Why don't you talk to that? To a lawyer about that. If you've got mental and emotional issues, you've got childhood trauma that you need to work through. Well, boy, I'm just an amateur drug addict. I can't help you with that. But a therapist can help you with that. If you need to take that part of your story to a properly appointed authority, a therapist who can help you through that. Okay. Medical issues. I'm not a doctor. Now, I hear medical advice given out in 12-step meetings all the time. You should go on, you should go off your beds, all this different stuff. I'd like to stay out of that. Thank you very much. You want to adjust your medication, or if you want to know if your antidepressant is right for you, why don't you talk to a person who went to medical school, not me, okay? You got financial matters, as we'll hear about later. Most of us owe money. One of my favorite sentences in the book, most alcoholics owe money. You bet I did. And for those kind of financial matters, if you got, you know, you're in large to the revenue authorities or big banks or who knows what, talk, you know, you might need to talk to an accountant or a tax lawyer, a bankruptcy lawyer, a debt counselor, whatever, right? That's a person who's unaffected by the situation. Obviously, they're a professional and they'll understand. They'll be able to hear what you have to say on that and maybe have a useful conversation with you about how to go forward. It is with moral matters, okay? The way that selfishness has been dominating our life, that we go to the spiritual advisor, which is really what a sponsor is, right? We're sort of in a brotherhood of mutual spiritual support. We can discuss the selfishness that we've been living our life with. We're sort of in the similar position as a priest, except, you know, I don't have holy orders and the ability to forgive sins and do mass and stuff, but I can listen to moral and spiritual things. You bet I can. That's what we're there to do, to hear in a general way the character defects, the spiritual defects that have been dominating your life and keeping you blocked off from your maker. That's what I'm there to do. I don't need to hear names. I don't need to hear a lot of details. You know those things. You need to share with me. One of the things I've noticed is that when a person is doing the fifth step, there is almost always a thing or a couple of things they are just so afraid to say out loud. I was that way. There were certain things that I knew were going to be hard to say. And just saying those things, sharing those moral failings with another person, swallowing our pride and getting honest enough to do that, I think it provides a huge amount of the relief and the power that step five gives us. So whatever it is that's going to be hard to say, being there to hear that, just being a witness to you saying that out loud to another person, maybe for the first time, is a huge part of what I'm there as a big book sponsor to do. So that's one of the pieces of advice that Cameron gave me, back when we were doing this is, you know, you don't need to give any names or details. I'm not there to receive any names or details. And the other thing you want to watch out for is I'm also not there to listen to boring stories involving a lot of junkie pride and all the wild, crazy stuff. I don't care, right? I was just watching an episode of BoJack Horseman where they're at a 12-step meeting, and essentially it's a junkie pride competition getting up at the podium to talk about who's done the most, you know, degrading or awful stuff. I have no interest in that, right? Who cares? So I'm there to hear something else. All right. So the step five instruction, we want to talk to the right person. That's what we've just been talking about with the properly appointed authority and the big book sponsor. And the right person it's got to be able to keep a confidence, right? Somebody who can keep their mouth shut because this is personal stuff. They understand and approve of what we're driving at. They know what we're there to share. They know that what we're trying to do, and they're not going to try to change our plan. Our plan is to just disclose these things and go to God and get some spiritual help. So as long as they understand that and they can keep their mouth closed, could be really anybody we trust, anybody who's in a properly appointed authority. And when we decide who is to hear our story, we waste no time. You've already done the work of writing this inventory. Don't you want to get some relief? Step five is one of the most powerful spiritual experiences I've ever had. So don't waste any time. Once you've got it done, get it shared with somebody so you can start getting better. We have a written inventory. We're prepared for a long talk. So what do? You pocket your pride and go to it. One of the little pieces of advice I always give people is start with that hard thing that's probably on your mind. You start with that and the rest will be easier. And that seems to work pretty well a lot of the time. We illuminate every twist of character. That's what we're there to illuminate, the twists of our characters, not the many wrongs I think have been done to me, not the details about all of the particulars of my misconduct. I'm there to eliminate how prideful I've been, what a liar I've been, about how selfish I've been, the arrogance, whatever the thing is that was killing me. And was a lot of that stuff that I just said. That's what I'm there to show to another person and to God so we can start treating it. We can start healing, getting better. Every dark cranny of the past. So ask yourself, are you willing to do this? It's scary. I was very enthusiastic about this program, very enthusiastic about getting better because I was extremely awful by the time I recovered. And this still intimidated me. That's very normal. But this is the only way forward. So I had to ask myself if I was willing to do this, illuminate truthfully all my twists of character, say that hard stuff. And I decided that I was. Now, once we have taken this step, you look at page 18. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, it's one of the other things I always tell people is it's fine to forget something. What is not fine is to know that there's something that you should talk about and deliberately hold it back. That is going to make things harder. So it's fine to forget. It's not fine to deliberately withhold. If we withhold nothing, we are going to feel delighted. That's how I felt. We are going to feel like we can look the world in the eye. The experience of saying this stuff to another person and just having them listen in patience and love and just be there as we witness, as witness to our commitment to a new way of life is going to make us feel like we can look the world in the eye again. We're going to be able to be alone at perfect peace and ease. It used to be impossible for me to sit in a room by myself quietly. Couldn't handle just being with me, my least favorite person in many ways. That started to change. Our fears start to fall away from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. That is not to think or know about the nearness of our Creator, but to feel it. The way I feel the force of gravity holding me down on the floor right now. I might have had certain spiritual beliefs before. That was step two. Who knows? Huge range of stuff. And I did have certain spiritual beliefs. I had certain ideas about God in my head. But now I get something new. When I take step five, I begin to have a spiritual experience. That's what we're in the business of. We're not in the business of transmitting religious doctrines or theologies or philosophies about God. We are in the business of brokering real experiences. Each person gets to have their own one that'll feel what it feels like to them, a spiritual experience. This is when it starts. That's why it's so important that we get this new person who is dying from lack of power. The spiritual experience for a lot of people starts right here. This is when they start to feel, wow, this is not bullshit. This is real. I am feeling something. That's why the feeling that the drink or the using or whatever problem, the feeling that has disappeared will often come strongly for people at this point. That's how I felt. I remember when working through this, I said, I kind of do feel like I'm just cured. And the reason I feel that is because I am getting connected to a power strong enough to make me better. And I'm feeling that it's real. So that's not an accident that I'm starting to feel that way. Now there's more. Of course, there's more. It's not a five-step program, but we get this lick of the ice cream cone and we're like, holy shit, am I just better? And in a way, you're starting to be. We feel like we're on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. And you know why we feel like we're on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe? Because we are hand in hand with God on the broad highway. We're feeling like that because that's true. That's real. And now what we need to be able to do is sustain it. We need to figure out how we can be connected to this power, not just at these moments of confession, but all the time, every day. If I can feel, I was just working with a guy a couple of weeks ago, and I said, if you could feel like this all the time, do you think it would be hard to stay sober at all? He was like, no, I feel great. I said, that's the goal. We got to be able to connect you to spiritual power all the time. Okay. So what does this all bottom out in? We've got this moral inventory checklist, kind of the results of our investigation you can take a look at. Left side, self-will, bondage of self, liabilities, blocks, character defects. You can check off the ones you've discovered, and there's some blanks there at the bottom. Cameron has written in some of his own. That's your resume as an untreated addict. Then on the right, we've got the results of our column 5 investigation. There are certain theological people who call this agere contra, right? Do the opposite. So opposite all of these spiritual weaknesses, we've got spiritual strengths. Opposite pride, we've got humility. Opposite selfishness, we've got unselfishness. We go through those and we make notes of what are the spiritual virtues I'm going to be striving for. And of course, we've got some blanks to write as we need to do. And that's our job description under God's employment. It's ironic, isn't it? You know, it's kind of a paradox. God hired me, a person with one of the worst spiritual resumes imaginable. Somebody I love told me that when they met me, and this is a completely fair assessment, that I was the least spiritually sort of awake person they had ever met. And that is completely right. Worst resume imaginable. He hired me, somebody with the worst spiritual resume imaginable, to do his work under his employment. He hires people from the bottom of the barrel to do his work under his employment. And he places his power in us when we do that. And I've been able to, not because of any power that came from me, but from the power that I discovered in this process, right? That's the paradox. That is the real salvific grace of this program. And it is powerful stuff. And we've got a very cool video clip at this point that Cameron will share with us that I think really captures these principles really well. So let's take a look at that now.
This is a step 5 video from the movie Star Trek. And it's the opening scene. And the lead protagonist is Cybok, who's a Vulcan. And part of this scene, he's reading the mind of this, in our context, a prospect who's in a great deal of suffering, and there is a sharing of inventory. And it quite theatrically, I think, demonstrates what a good step 5 outcome is all about. And plus, the actual spoken narrative of this clip, I think, is very 12-step or.
I thought weapons were forbidden on this planet. Besides, I can't believe you'd kill me for a field of empty holes.
All I have.
Let us explore it together. Each man hides a secret pain. It must be exposed and reckoned with. It must be dragged from the darkness and forced into the light. Share your pain. Share your pain with me. And gain strength from the share.
The power was within you.
Phew. As if a weight has been lifted from my heart. How can I repay you for this miracle?
Join my quest.
What is it you seek?
What do you seek?